This is Anderson Penn's podcast episode 40 for Sunday, February 24th, 2013. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's radio network.
Welcome.
We have a very special guest with us this week, organizer of the Arkansas Penn Show, vintage pen collector, and good friend, Mr. Tim Beiler.
Hi, everybody.
Wait a minute, I got it for you here. Hang on.
Yay!
That's cool.
All right. Welcome, Tim. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you reside, what you collect, what really grabs your attention in pens?
Well, Tim Beiler. I live in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I'm on the quest for the ultimate writing machine. If it writes to suit me, then I'll add it to my collection. I don't have a particular brand loyalty or model loyalty. I just, if it writes good, I put it in the collection. Now, I do have an unexplained love for Swans, though. I don't know, something about the Swan and Blackbird nibs in the 40s really works for me. So I've got a lot of Swans.
So you're a bird collector.
I am.
How many Swans would you say you have?
Oh.
you can round to the nearest 100. That's fine.
Yeah, 30, 40, okay. Something like that. Okay. Yeah, it keeps growing.
And is that a particular period of maybe Todd, or is it English, American? Does it matter?
Actually, the English ones write a little bit different than the American ones. And people think I'm crazy when I say that, but it's actually the English nibs that really like.
Okay, so that explains why when this nib came available, you didn't grab it.
Exactly. Yeah.
That thing's a freaking shovel.
Yeah, and for those who are wondering, this is a maybe Todd. It's a Bard and Brothers number 8 dip pen nib, and it's about the size of, well,
my finger.
Yeah, that's a cap for an SJ. It's that big. So
it's huge.
It's enormous.
Anyway, I just didn't want to interrupt. I just thought I'd bring that up.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that, teasing you about that one.
Oh, my God, yep. Now, Tim, tell us and the audience a little bit about how did you get started in fountain pens, and, you know, do you use them on a daily basis, or do you just keep them in the house and hoard them?
Well, it's... My story of the fountain pens took many, many years. I was in a business meeting, I guess in the late 80s, and a guy at the meeting, he had a fountain pen. And I just thought, man, that is just like the coolest thing ever. You know, it's so antique looking and very gentlemanly looking. And I was telling my wife that story, and for my birthday, she brought me a Mont Blanc fountain pen. It was a Meisterstruck 145, I think. And I was so excited because this thing was so classy looking. So I put the cartridge in it, and I put it to the paper, and I hated this pen. I hated this pen. Because my handwriting was so small and so compact, and this thing had a nib. It had to be a triple broad. And it just my handwriting was illegible with it. And I thought, oh, my gosh, get this away. So I threw it in a drawer, and, you know, every 6 months I'd get it out and play with it, and I was like, oh, this is just awful. But several years after that, someone had given my father-in-law a wooden pen, which I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. So I actually taught myself how to turn pens because I liked his so much.
I didn't know that.
And my brother Mike, who you all know, you didn't know I turned?
No.
Oh, yeah, I do.
That's like the dark side.
Well, he was pretty impressed by that. Yeah, I know. I don't turn a lot anymore. But Mike thought that was really cool, so I kind of got him set up to turn in pins. And he had a regular customer that bought a lot of pins from him, and he wanted a fountain pen. So Michael made him a couple of fountain pens, and then from there, Michael got started collecting. And he kept trying to draw me into this. And I was like, dude, I can't write with a fountain pen. I don't want one. I don't like them. I don't want anything to do with it.
So it's Mike's fault.
So I'm up at his house Yeah, this is, well, see, I got him into turning. Now he's got me into collecting. We just keep going in circles. But I'm up at his house one day. We're out into his shop, and he's showing me, you know, all the antique pins that he's bought and the ones that he's repaired and how great everything is. And I'm just like, okay, let's go home. But he had an old pin. It was thrown up on his desktop, and he had stuff covered up. And I had never seen anything like it. And I was like, well, what's that one back there? So I grabbed it, and it was a Parker 21, of all things, Parker 21.
I'm so sorry. And
what? He said, oh, you should put that back. That's broke. It's a piece of junk. You don't want that. I said, no. I just like the look of it. And I said, let me ink that up, see what that's like. So I inked it up. And, oh, my gosh, the heavens opened, and I saw the light. This piece of junk had the smoothest nib ever, and it was an extra fine, and it was super dry. So for someone that writes as small as I do, I mean, that was just like heaven. And I was like, well, since this is a piece of junk, can I have this? He said, yeah, get this. He said, for $10. So, yeah, Michael charges me $10 for this Parker 21. God. It looks like it's been drugged down a gravel road. But I started carrying it, and I loved it, and that's where I got started, all with the Parker 21, instead of the Mont Blanc.
So you paid him the $10.
I did. Yes.
So that makes him the smart one.
Well, I've gotten it back from him through the years. So.
I'm sure you have.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I carry 8 or 10 pins with me every day, and y'all touched on this on a podcast not too long ago about how relaxing it is just to use a fountain pen. And yep. So during the day, if I've got a minute, pull out a pen, write the lines, and I'm good to go.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. Brian likes to take the cap off pens and play with them in meetings, right, honey?
Oh, anything. Cap it, uncap it, you know, whatever, whatever to pass the time, because meetings, they're terrible.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Awesome. Well, that's... Now we know we got to get an extra $10 out of Mike one of these days.
So. That's right. That's right. It's always $10. Try to get it out of him.
Exactly.
What
else do we have going on?
Well, you know, we've got this week begins the trifecta of pen shows.
March Madness, baby.
March Madness, and for pen collectors, I think it's a little different. That means 3 pen shows, 3 weekends in a row.
Back to back.
Right. This next weekend, actually this time next week, we'll be finishing up the Baltimore Pen Show. It's fast approaching. It's a fantastic show run by Bert Oser in an even more fantastic building. If you saw our blog post about this last year, you're going to recall an elaborate set of pictures from the inside of the building, an old Masonic building. It's just really fantastic, stained glass and all that. But truly one of the most beautiful locations for a pen show anywhere. This year, the schedule, they're running Friday 11 to 6, which is kind of nice because we'll be getting in Friday morning.
Like at 9.
Yeah, like at 9, probably. Saturday 10 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 4. If you're in the area, 1 day pass is $10. 2 day, $15. 3 day is $45, but that also includes early admission for all 3 days.
Which is an awesome deal. That's when you get to really hang with the vendors and get to see stuff before it gets really busy and crazy. So if you know you're going to be there, consider the weekend trading pass. You get a lot of extra perks with that.
Yep. There is going to be a number of seminars offered. Susan Wirth, Deb Basil is going to have a calligraphy workshop both Saturday and Sunday. And this year's affair also features a Saturday evening auction run by Gary Garner with 80-plus lots of vintage pens. So you can bet we're going to be there. Rumor has it, I know some of the people running the auction that evening, the so-called A-Team.
Gary Garner's A-Team, yep. John Veely and I will be keeping an eye out on the bidders and helping Gary with that. And I think Joe Nemechek will be, what's the word I'm looking for? Sashaying up and down. I don't know that he shakes it, but he sashays up and down the aisle showing the items. And in Philly and in, was it Raleigh?
Raleigh, yep.
Terry Mahorder was in charge of the inventory. So we have a good time. I think John prefers it with beer. I think I'm going to try it with beer. But
well, we owe him a beer anyway. So.
We do. The problem is that leaves you unattended.
Me?
That's scary.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I've got my bid number right here on the table somewhere.
I'm sure you do, and that's my concern, is you will not be there with me next to you to hold your hand down.
Well, I did under 10 lots in Philly.
How is that something to be proud of? Under 10? Hello? That's a lot.
Now, come on. Now, Tim will attest, if you're at an auction and there are like touchdowns going for $15, you just can't pass that up, right, Tim?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's yeah, break out the checkbook. Let's go.
I mean, what? it was crazy.
You are no help, Mr. Beiler.
That's true.
They were selling pens for $15, $20. I just couldn't believe it.
All right. I'm going to work with Gary to make sure that they're all out of your price range.
Well, anyway. it's going to be fun, that's for sure. I can't wait to see, because there's nothing on the website right now that I could find what's going to be in the auction, but... we'll see. I don't know that I actually have a wish list for the show this soon after having come back from LA, but I'm probably going to be on the lookout for the usual hard rubber pens hiding in somebody's bargain box. My usual strategy is to not buy anything the first day, primarily because I like to make sure, you know, I've made some money in order to earn my first pen, but also because that first day usually isn't quite as busy. And oftentimes a pen I look at will still be, not always, but will still be present the second day of the show. Now, that's not necessarily a rule, more of a guideline. Tim, you're no stranger to pen shows. Do you have buying strategies for multi-day shows that you use? Any secrets you want to share?
My main strategy is not blow my whole weekend budget in the first 30 minutes. when you're a hoarder, you can do that pretty easily. So. Like you, I just first day I like to just kind of get a lay of the land and make mental notes and keep track of the things that I would like to see, and then the next day I'll go in and make the budget and the list and all that fit together. Except I did that on Friday in Washington, and nobody told me everybody packs up and moves in Washington. So I found a pen on Friday, and then Saturday I couldn't find it.
Oh, yeah, I hate that. I hate that when that happens.
Y'all should have warned me about that one.
That's a good point, that's for sure.
Well, so is that a lesson to listeners that they should grab it when they see it, or just take a business card? Pay attention.
Take a business card. Yeah, take a business card, because I couldn't even remember who had the pen.
It was some guy with gray hair.
Yeah, some guy with gray hair. He had a lot of pens, and he had once one that I really wanted. And I never found it.
Now, is it easier or harder to stick to your budget with many vendors now taking credit cards?
Ooh. Well... The credit card the wife sees, so it's credit card's no effect on me. it's a cash only proposition with me.
So it's whatever you stashed away.
That's exactly right.
I thought the wives were supposed to do that, pilfer off the top of the grocery budget or something.
So well, that's where the shoes come from.
Oh, that's true. That's very true.
That explains it now.
Uh-huh. Yep. Now, Tim, your brother Mike collects pens as well. Now, do you collect the same things or different things, or do you compete at all for pens?
No, not really. He has his own style. He loves Schaefer's and Parker's. He's not much of a new pen person, although that's starting to change. He's bought a couple of new pens recently. But no, we really don't compete. he knows what I like, and I know what he likes. And if we see something that each other likes at a show, we'll make sure they see it.
Okay, so it's more like two people looking for the same thing, as opposed to both of you seeing the same pen and going after it.
Right, right.
Because that would make Thanksgiving difficult.
yeah. We did have one incident in Dallas a couple of years ago. I was in front of him, and we were going through the bargain bin on somebody's table. And I was looking through, and I didn't see anything that I wanted. And about 2 seconds later, he says, "Here, I got this for $10. And it was in the bin I was just in. It was a blue Challenger, which, you know, they only made the blue Challengers 1 year. So I'm like, "So I just looked through this box and didn't see this, and you just bought it?" He said, "Yep, sure did." So,
I give it to you for $10.
I think he said he'd give it to me for $100.
Oh. Well, he figures you bought it for $10 the first time. He's just going to.
So there's always a little competition.
Okay. But for the most part, when one of you finds something, you share the love and excitement. You don't rub it in most of the time.
Absolutely. Oh, okay. Absolutely. Right. Well, we do it both ways, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Let's see. Next week after Baltimore is, of course, the great, otherwise known as awesome, Arkansas Pen Show, March 8th through 10th. Friday, it's noon to 7. Saturday, 10 to 6. And Sunday, Sunday short, 10 to 3.
Yeah, so y'all get on the road and get home.
Exactly. Admission for one day is 5. The weekend is 10. That's an awesome price, by the way. And children under 13 get in for free.
That's correct.
Tim, as one of the organizers, why don't you tell us what visitors can expect to see, experience? Are there any events or seminars, anything cool going on besides you?
Well, yeah, besides me, not much, no. You know, Brian's still laughing. Our show, it's a little bit different atmosphere than most any other show you'll go to. It's very relaxed. It's very laid back. And it's just some of the nicest, most passionate pen people you'll ever meet are in Little Rock. Little Rock really is a fountain pen town, and people are surprised when they hear that, but it really is. It's a great fountain pen town. When we were putting this together, just over the months, just talking about different ideas, we thought we'd make this kind of an educational show. We've had a lot of club members, new club members this year that are brand new to fountain pens. I mean, they were like I was 20 years ago. I was like, "Boy, that looks cool," and didn't know anything about it. So we wanted to educate them, and it's going to be kind of an educational show. The first visitor we have is Henry Simpole, everybody knows. Yeah, yep. Everybody knows Henry's work. Just gorgeous, beautiful overlays. He's coming back to Little Rock this year. He'll be demonstrating his overlay technique. And we couldn't be more excited. Well, we love Henry. And I've heard this is the only show in America he's doing this year.
Really?
Well, that's cool. Yeah.
He's not going to Dallas? Yeah, he was in Dallas last year, too, I think.
No.
He was
in Dallas last year.
He was. Yeah.
But somebody told me this is the only show he's planning for America this year. So
there must be some special attraction down there.
Maybe. Or you just have to know the secret handshake.
There's a secret handshake?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't think I know that one. But I do have my Little Rock, so.
Okay, well, as long as you got the Little Rock, you're good.
We're good.
Good to go.
Who else is going to be there?
Deb Basil's making her first appearance at Little Rock this year. Awesome. Super excited. Yeah, she is awesome. She'll be doing two of the beginners calligraphy classes, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. And we're trying to put together a copper plate class.
Cool.
We've got to work out the logistics on how we're going to do that. But I think we've got enough people to do a copper plate class. So we're excited to have Deb. Sam Figuarella, she'll be doing her Think Geek seminar, the one she just did in L.A. And I really hope I can pull myself away and get into that. I really want to hear her insights on that. It sounds like fun. Sean Newton. Have y'all heard of Sean Newton?
Oh, we've met Sean.
Yeah, we met Sean.
Yeah.
He actually shaved this week.
Oh, that's right. He lost a bet or something, or he was auctioned.
He was auctioned. So.
Oh, I lost you there for a second.
Oh.
Sean shaved. You're not going to recognize him.
He did shave. Yeah, he lost a bet with one of his students, and he had to cut his hair, shave his beard, and it just doesn't look right. But Sean's got an interesting story. Last year,
Are you there, Tim?
We see Tim. We don't hear Tim.
Uh-oh.
He's toying with us. We got an interesting story, and then...
Well, while we're waiting for Tim, I know that Sean's very passionate about two things, pens and his students, and he's absolutely a dedicated teacher, and I think he gives away a bunch of his pens to his students or to kids. So the PCA is actually going to try and get together with him to do some kind of collaboration, so that would be cool.
Yeah, and I think he does a lot of scholarship. He auctions off his pens for scholarships for his kids for college.
Yep.
So he makes some interesting pens. He had an ebonite pen up on I saw on Facebook earlier today, which I thought was an interesting piece.
Yeah, he's so cool.
But
I think I'm back.
Hey, you're taking a nap there.
I disappeared and I didn't know where I was. I came back.
All right, so besides Sean, anybody else?
We're talking about Sean.
Yeah.
Fernando Padilla, we have talked him into doing a basic pen repair seminar.
Cool.
Fern now, is Dr.
an encyclopedia of fountain pen. No, this is Fern. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So he'll be doing a basic repair seminar, and I think we're going to have him do something on Sunday too, more of an expert roundtable.
Very cool.
Kind of thing. So, yeah, that'll be fun for everybody. And the last thing is our pen museum that we're doing this year. In our club, not only is bragging encouraged, it's perfectly acceptable. And so over the years, we've seen pieces out of our members' collection. And we thought, wow, it'd be a good idea to bring these in and put them all in one display. And so we told our membership about it, and they're like, I don't have anything really worthy of displaying. And we said, anything interesting. Doesn't have to be rare. Doesn't have to be expensive. And after they thought about it, boy, they really got on board. And we have got some stunning pieces that's going to be in this display case, and can't wait to see everything all in one location. It ought to be
that'll be cool.
It's going to be amazing. I think so.
I still got to pick out a few pens for you. That's on my list of things to do today. So,
I think we talked about some overlays.
Probably. Maybe some Aiken Lamberts. I've got probably not all Aiken Lambert, but I have some interesting wort and some early pens. But we'll find something interesting for you. Now, when we spoke with you yesterday...
It'd be interesting to see a nice collection of overlays.
Yeah. Yeah, I think...
Sell them to you for $10.
When we spoke yesterday, you mentioned the entire club felt like it was Christmas. You know, they just can't wait for the show to get here. Are there any particular pens you think you're going to be looking for, a wish list, if you will?
We lost him again.
We're having technical issues. Nope.
He's thinking about that wish list. Well, let's keep going.
All right. We'll come back to that.
Yep.
We are having technical difficulties.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there you are.
There we go.
Sorry.
We stumped him with that what are you looking for at the show thing.
I just asked, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I just asked, you know, like yesterday we had mentioned that, you know, the entire club's looking forward to it, just like Christmas. Are there any particular pens you think you're going to be looking for, any kind of wish list that you might have?
I think my wife left, so I can say this. I think I saw her drive off just a minute ago.
Wow. Now,
with Henry being in town, I really want to get one of his overlays. And I'm anxious to see what he's bringing with him this year. And, you know, something like that, if you're going to spend the money to do it, I actually want to buy it from him.
Right.
I don't want to just send him an email and say, hey, send me a pin. I actually want to do it while he's here. So that's probably going to be my big purchase.
From his hands to your hands. And
absolutely.
Very, you know, cool.
Cameras rolling and the flash bulbs going off. And, yeah.
So Henry's going to have a parade or something too, or what?
He might.
He might. He's,
yeah.
But, you know, for someone who makes expensive pens and who does that incredibly detailed work, he's just so friendly and so down to earth, and he's just so sweet.
Yes, he's a really
just
really
like everybody else. Yep.
Yep.
Just a normal guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the typical English gentleman.
Yes.
Should we talk about recent acquisitions?
We can try.
Now, up until yesterday, I actually didn't have anything, but then there was this box that came in the mail.
I protest.
Well, you know, I did it under the guise of I wanted to buy some inventory. Well, I'll have to admit, I upset Lisa because I bought yet another desk set.
Jeez.
That I don't need, that I already have four of.
Wait, but we heard it here live. He doesn't need it.
I don't need that particular one. it was part of the deal. And the reason I bought it for a lot was for this right here. It's in the plastic, in this little box. And Esterbrook, and on the back it says M2, directions on the back of card, in the best color, the turquoise, Esterbrook Aerometric set. I've never seen it in this packaging before. $4.95 is what this originally cost.
All right. So
that's my new acquisition for the week.
Okay. Well, we only got back from LA on Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. I have not gotten anything new, but I have decided to actively be on the hunt in both Baltimore and Little Rock. So
I'm scared.
You should be, because I want Auroras.
Oh my God.
I don't buy a lot, but when I do, watch out.
Yeah, I don't, right? Tim, have you got anything recently you want to share with us?
Well, my Anderson LE bulb filler.
Oh, shameless, that's
promotion
pretty.
There. Yeah, that really is an awesome writing pen. I really like it so far. This one.
Ooh, what is that?
Everything's backwards. Well, that is a Mercedes.
A Mercedes? That's
German made. Mid-40s, probably. It looks like it was meant in the box. I mean, this thing's just phenomenal shape, except the section's broke.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but that's well, that'll actually be a pretty interesting repair job. That's just a neat view. So, great writer, beautiful pen. Other than that,
does that have chasing on the plastic?
Yes, it sure does.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, piston fill, and it feels just like it's supposed to. So it's in great shape.
Cool.
This is one of my recent restore jobs.
Ooh, senior.
Pretty.
Actually, Michael found that and sold it to me. He didn't give it to me, sold it to me. And it was in pretty rough shape, but it turned out nice.
It seems to be a common theme. Mike sells you pens.
Looks like a nice senior.
It looks big.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, is it streamlined or...
No, that's full size.
Okay.
Oh, it's a regular. It's not a streamer. Okay.
It's not 8 inches, Eric.
Yeah, there it is with the.
That's a big boy. Yeah. How big is the Anderson?
And of course, the.
Ooh, pretty. Swan. I like that one. My birthday's in July.
It is. But this is not an Aurora.
I'll make an
exception. He's got you there.
I'll make an exception.
That's nice. Would you say that's kind of unusual to have? Looks like it had a couple of barrel bands. Plastic.
That is rather. Yeah, it is.
Pretty cool.
I know you can't see the nib, but it's got a. It's a broad stub nib, which I never thought I'd write with, but yeah, it's a phenomenal writer. So this got a little work needs to be done to it.
How does that work with your teeny tiny compact writing, though?
Well, actually, over the years, my writing has gotten bigger, which that's quite a challenge, changing your handwriting in your 40s. But I just enjoyed writing with pens so much, I didn't want to limit myself to fine and dry. So I've actually had to change the way I wrote over the years.
Well, that's cool. All right. Yeah.
I can write with a broad. It looks bad, but I can do it.
Awesome.
Wow. Well, that's a whole lot of pens for 1 week. Well, I guess, you know, a lot of nice pens in 1 week.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
Speaking
we have a
nice stuff.
Yeah, we've got a couple new things up on the website, a lot of cool new things coming on, going up, and some wild and awesome things in the next couple of months with all the pen shows so close together. It's going to take a little bit of work to keep up with all the new stuff that's coming in, but just a brief overview of some of the new stuff coming in. We have new Monteverde Primas are up on the site now. We've got some more coming in. Very interesting pen. Good size, yep. Relatively inexpensive. Might be that good second or third pen for somebody who's just starting out. I kind of like them. So.
Uh-oh.
You could bet there's going to be one in my pen case soon.
Oh, my God.
So look for those. We've got, probably 20 new Diamine ink colors up this week.
We have to reach an end with them at some time, right?
I mean, yeah, I would
we'll
think
eventually
so.
Get to the end of those.
You're in charge of ordering that, so I guess you tell me.
Someday we'll get there.
Our new, our fabulous smooth leather cases, they have been restocked. Here's one of them right here, the nice blue. And they're going fast again. In fact, we were able to get a couple of the blue ones in. I think there's one left of the 4 pen case in blue, and some 3 pen cases in blue too. So
yep. Not many.
Not many. But those are restocked and in. So that's it for this week. We'll have more next week to talk about.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we've gotten in or that's coming in this week, but we just don't have it in, or we're going to hold out for a little bit longer and keep you in suspense. Yep. Some cool new stuff, though.
See us at the show. We'll have it there first.
Yep. And then the moment we've all been waiting for, the blog caption contest.
Sorry, this one.
There you go. I got to tell you, we had a blast. It wasn't easy picking out the best entry, but of the 34 that we received, we're gonna list the four runners up. So Brad wrote in, "You bought what at the auction?" which was pretty typical of the look on my face and the comment that might have come out of my mouth.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, Lisa C. must have been paying attention at some point when we talked about what happened in Chicago a couple years ago. Her comment was, "The hotel staff dropped what in the parking lot?" reminiscent of when the Esterbrook nibs went literally flying.
Yeah.
Aziza had a great comment. "I wasn't looking at ballpoints, I swear." That was good. And Tim some guy named Tim said, "You put Super Chrome in my Aurora 75th anniversary." And for those of you who don't know, Super Chrome ink was, let's just say, not great for pens.
Unless you were a Parker 51 and you were using it the day it was made, probably. But
yeah. But the I guess it's time to announce the winner. The we thought the best comment was submitted by Ira, and it says, "Everybody down, back 20 demonstration in progress."
All right.
That is truer than you know. The first time.
Here's the bottle.
The first time, was it the first time or the second time? It didn't quite go so well. We practiced with water a couple times.
Yeah.
But if you don't have everything, if you don't have the top screwed on all the way, if you don't have the pen screwed in properly, it could be dangerous. So
congratulations, Ira.
We will be in touch about your prize.
Actually, he's in the chat right now.
He is.
He is.
Ooh, Ira.
So...
that was great. That was a great comment. Now, some of the others were really good, too. There was one my mother sent in, but it was on Facebook that said, "Oh, my God, I have turned into my mother." So, Mom, you get points for that, but you didn't win.
And she didn't follow the directions.
She didn't. And my cousin Sandy actually put in a comment about my reaction when I learned that my grandparents had left a collection of pens to Sandy and to not me, so that kind of made me sad. But Ira, you will win a Plaser in your choice of color and nib and a cool Pilot pen case.
Yeah, that's a cool case. I really like
that. Yeah, those are cool. Yep.
So we'll be in touch.
Now, Lisa, when you get to Little Rock.
Yeah?
When you get to Little Rock, we'll tell you the other non-printable captions we had. there's a lot of them.
Oh, I'm sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I'm embarrassed now.
Thanks to Lisa for being such a good sport on this one. I'm certain I'll get my moment of photographic fame at some point. But
oh yeah, I'm counting on Brian Gray to capture you at an off moment.
I'm not usually too surprised, so.
I don't know what I was doing. I just turned around, and there's this camera. And
yep.
Man, he's fast fingers, that man. So,
you've got a couple shout-outs this week?
I do. As always, our good friend Mike Beiler, wishing you a speedy recovery. And you better get your butt down there to the Penn Show in 2 weeks. We will be expecting to see you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We opened up a bunch of our Inco Rhino mail last night, and oh my God, we had such a great time. So thank you to all of the people who have sent mail to us, and hopefully our responses to you will be received soon. A shout out to Hugh and Carol. They've invited us to dinner. I'm not sure if we're going to make it, but just the thought was awesome. Martin decided that instead of letters, he was going to send pictures for his version of Inkorimo. And some of those were very unusual, like Ninja Martin and Scare the Villagers Martin, and some of those were cute. Shout out to my cousin Lane, Kathy and Robert. They gave us a FP Geek shout out. They mentioned us in their LA show review, so that was fun. And Don and Megan have invited us to join them for dinner on Saturday night. So hopefully we're planning to do that as long as we can be back in time for the auction. Because Brian will leave in the middle of dinner.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe we'll bump up the reservation a little bit.
That's right.
But very cool. Tim, anybody you want to say hi to? Hi, Mom, you know?
Hi, Mom.
Now, Tim, your other brother, Chris, doesn't collect pens, correct?
Oh, no. No, he's a loser.
Wow. Tell us.
And he's left-handed.
Oh, man. Overwriter too, probably.
Overwriter?
Oh, yeah.
No, are we going to get to meet him at all, or you just keep him locked in a closet?
No, we try to keep him locked up. He's in Kansas City, so. Of course, he's always invited, but no, he hadn't took us up on that yet.
Okay. All right.
Very good. Anything else we want to talk about this week?
I think we've covered enough. Locking brothers in closets and.
That's a good way to end the show, I think. Tim, thanks so much for joining us this week. You're our first guest.
I was glad to be here.
Thanks for being the guinea pig.
Yeah. Yep. I can set the how not to example for future guests.
That's hard to beat.
It is. Comments, suggestions for topics, use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
Or catch us online.
Email is Brian at AndersonPens.net.
Not sure about that. Or Lisa at AndersonPens.net.
You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/AndersonPens.
We are on Facebook, of course, facebook.com/AndersonPens.
On the blog, AndersonPens.net/blog.
And as you've guessed, the website, AndersonPens.net.
Join our mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events or pre-orders. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.